We don't have much time, brethren, but maybe we can consider a few points in the life of Daniel. You know, I covet what it says about Daniel in the 9th chapter of that book. It says, man of God, greatly beloved. How did he get to be greatly beloved in the sight of the Lord? We may have a few inclinations, a few indications in his book. We'll look at quickly in the 1st chapter of the book of Daniel. We're familiar with all these, so we'll just read the verses that apply. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here's the first thing. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You know, that meat which this idolatrous king offered was a sacrifice to idols. And there are certain foods that were not to be eaten by the children of Israel. Things strangled, things offered with the blood, that which was offered to idols were forbidden to the children of Israel. But Daniel purposed in his heart. It tells us in Proverbs 23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here, this young man, he may have said, well, you know, what's the use? I'm a captive. I've been made a eunuch over here. I'm far away from the promised land. Why bother obeying the Lord? No, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, even though he was not in his homeland. You know, it takes purpose of heart. If we're going to follow the Lord in a wicked world like this, while we're not at home, in the book of Acts, we read that there were those who, in the second chapter, or rather the 16th chapter, that they came to Antioch and they clave to the Lord. And it says that they sent Barnabas, who exhorted them that with purpose of heart they should cleave to the Lord. When the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. His purpose. Is your purpose in life evident that you want to please the Lord? Don't you think that would be something which would make you greatly beloved in the sight of the Lord? Look at the end of this first chapter, verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. The early disciples did that in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly. Do we continue? Daniel continued all the way to the first year of King Cyrus. Those who can estimate the time say he was well up in his 90s. You know of older brethren who have continued? You take our brother Little here, 95. Continued many years in the truth of God. Others have been a disappointment to us. They have not continued. But here was one. The Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned of me amongst many witnesses. What an exhortation to the child of God to continue faithfully until the end. I think the Lord, when he sees that, would make him happy. And he says, ah, there's one I really love. He's continuing on in the truth of God. In the next chapter, we have not much time, chapter 2, in verse 23, this thing was revealed to Daniel in verse 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. We don't read of Daniel complaining. He had a thankful spirit. Dear brethren, it's such a joy to meet Christians who are thankful. No matter what their circumstances, they're not thankful in the abundance of things that they have. They're always happy. You meet them and they're rejoicing in the Lord. Thankfulness characterizes them. And doesn't Paul tell the Philippians, you know, rejoice evermore. And we're to be thankful in all and everything give thanks, Paul tells us. Evidently, Daniel was of such a disposition. He was thankful. Don't you think that endeared him in the sight of the Lord? I don't read of a single fault in the life of Daniel. I know Daniel was not perfect. But in our Bibles, we don't read of a single failure in the life of Daniel. He was thankful. Now look at the fifth chapter. Let's see if we can find this. Fifth chapter and verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another." Daniel was not a covetous man. He wasn't seeking a great place for himself in this world. You know, Moses was the leader of God's people, but he didn't covet anything that the children of Israel had. He was a very meek man. The meekest man upon the face of the earth is the testimony of the Spirit of God concerning the Lord's servant Moses. He was a very meek man. Oh, even the prophet Samuel, he says, "Which of you at the end of his life can accuse me of taking any man's ass or goat?" Not a one. Samuel was not a covetous person. His sons were, sadly. They were covetous and they accepted bribes. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans states that concerning the law, blameless, but if there was anything in the law that slew him, it was this: thou shalt not covet. And yet, in the 20th chapter of that same book, Paul says, "I have coveted no man's silver." He had learned by the grace of God that we're not to covet. And brethren, that's an oft-repeated admonition in the Word of God: beware of covetousness. Why? Because covetousness has kept many a soul from ever receiving the Lord as Savior. They wanted this world's goods rather than going along with the lowly. They wanted these things that do not profit and will have to soon part with anyhow. Daniel did not want that which this king had. Let's look a little further. And the next chapter, chapter 6 and verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and he prayed." Daniel was a man of prayer. This characterized his life. as he did aforetime, not just now when there was trouble looming before him, when he was in danger of being thrown into the den of lions, as he did aforetime when things were going well, Daniel prayed three times a day. We request a prayer of our brethren when things go, you know, "I'm not feeling well," or "facing a dangerous situation, brethren, please pray for me." But Daniel prayed all the time, three times. Are we in the habit of praying all the time? Doesn't that rejoice the heart of the Lord to see us in prayer, dear brethren? On our knees before him early in the morning. You get up early in the morning, a little late at night. Pray to the Lord. Talk to him. You read God's precious word, he talks to you. When you get on your knees and pray, he talks. Then you talk to the Lord. And one other characteristic which I like very much about Daniel, and let's see here. Chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Daniel was given to meditation upon the word of God, to read the word of God and to meditate upon it. You know, this man was reading, and he found out in the 29th chapter and in the 25th chapter of Jeremiah that 70 years would be the children of Israel would be held captives by the king of Babylon. And it set him to action. Daniel started to pray, supplicate in behalf of his people. He applied himself diligently to the word of God. And he did not have the complete word of God as you and I have. He only had a portion of scripture, but he was reading what he had. I would encourage the dear young people to, there's good ministry to be had, to read it. Especially while you're young. I have quite a library. Most of the books I have, I read before I was ever married. That's when you have more time. You can meditate on God's word and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel did that. He read, he prayed, he purposed in his heart. He wasn't a covetous man, and all these things endeared himself in the sight of the Lord so that the Lord could say of him, "O man of God, greatly beloved."